Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the Love is Blind Rehab Up. I'm your host, Asia. And as always, I have my awesome co-host with me, Mary. Mary, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's the reunion. It's my favorite part of the series. I mentioned this last time. I love the recap at the end of the documentary when they tell you where everyone's at now. And here we are a year later. Time to see where our couples are. So I'm excited to dive into it.
Nice. Yeah, I was very happy that this reunion delivered, like it gave what it was supposed to give. With most people, but you know, as we talk through this, we can't do it alone. We have an awesome guest today who I just enjoy this guy's tweets just day in and day out. I mean, the Twitter king, Brian Scally. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing great. I'm very excited to be here. I have thoroughly enjoyed both seasons of Love Island as well as this coverage. So I was more than thrilled when you guys asked me to.
Love Island? Get off
my God. Love is Blind. They all have similar names. I cover the other ones. It's very difficult. Love is Blind, to clarify.
Love whatever.
I know what show I am covering. I watched the right episode.
Right. You came on here, you watched the last season of Love Island. You're like, let's dive into it. All right. Yeah, so glad to have you here. Just what are your thoughts since you did watch last season? What have you been your overall thoughts about this season?
So I liked this season. I feel like some people were a little shaky, but I feel like I was pretty invested in almost all of the couples all the way through. Like I could see where they were going for drama sometimes, but that was fine with me. I do think that I didn't have like that one couple that I was just fully all in on, but overall, like I'm used to that in watching a lot of these love shows. So for me, it hit just fine.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I was a little nervous coming into it because it had been so long and it's built up so much just popularity. And I was like, we're not going to get, you know, these ideal scenarios. But I was really glad that, you know, of the six couples, 11 of them took this process very seriously.
That's what I was going to say. Everyone was so afraid about, and everyone, I mostly mean me. I was so afraid about season two and it just being a group of people who thought that this was like all the other dating shows where you just come here for drama and for clout. And, you know, 11 out of 12, pretty good odds.
Right. Oh, man. But yeah, we have a lot to unpack here. I mean, I couldn't wait to get to today so that we could talk about it because I had to watch it as soon as it came out. Like there was no wait until Friday night so I can take notes. No, it was just like Friday morning. Let's knock this out so I'm not spoiled on Twitter.
Wow. That was pretty good of you to hit it right there at the first time. You know, I love the reunion shows generally. I felt like this one was structured a little weird. Like we have been hating on Vanessa and Nick Lachey for a few weeks now because they don't do much. they have risen a lot in my book for the way that they handled this reunion. I thought the questions were pretty good. They were respectful of when people didn't want to dive deeper into certain stuff, which mm-hmm. I mean, you can take it or leave it. Like some people, if you're here for the drama, maybe not your favorite. I mean, I do think that there is drama, but I think it's for the most part, it's real drama. It's not manufactured drama. Whereas yeah. like in so many of the other shows, it's like throwing to commercial. And now next up, we're going to talk to Shake about the biggest betrayal and whatever, you know, it's like, yeah. come on. Like we don't need that. The drama comes from dating is dramatic. Okay. That's what it is. And so we don't need to build in any kind of extra nonsense. Somebody else, I think, thought that they were the host of this show and thought that they needed to interrupt every 10 seconds and do anything. And, you know, like I'll throw some props. Shake did bring up some things that like everybody on Twitter was thinking. So, I mean, it did happen. But I do appreciate a show that will let the contestants kind of set the tone for what they want. And if these contestants wanted to take it more seriously, then so be it.
That's a funny point because I just refuse to give Shake any type of credit anytime, even if it's credit that he is due it at some point in his life. But, you know, that's funny you say that because maybe if it was Sal that was saying all of these things, that was interjecting and adding all these points, I'd be like, thank you, Sal, for speaking up. But the fact that I just despise Shake and he's the one constantly interrupting as if he had it all figured out. It was just so annoying every single time. Like, can I add to that? Like, you are not the third co-host of this show.
Mm-hmm. I'm very used to the messy reunion. So then when I have him jumping in, it is the conflict of like, I would be accepting this from someone else, but I don't like the messenger. So yeah. I'm a little conflicted here. There were points where I wish that Nick and Vanessa had pushed a little where like I'm good with them letting everyone set the tone. When a couple basically says like, hi, we've showed up today, but we don't want to speak about anything. It's like, okay, well, then why are you here? But otherwise, I was happier with them on this reunion than I expected to be for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Like, this is my formal apology to everything that I've said about Nick and Vanessa, because I felt like they delivered. I was very pleased with how they were like, yes, they, like you said, Mary, they were respecting certain people's boundaries, but they were pushing where they needed to push, because Vanessa was saying a lot of things that we thought about, you know, certain situations, specifically with Shake. And so I really did appreciate that. So I was like, okay, I don't mind having y'all back next season. but let's dive into it. The first kind of section that we got with them was just the introductions. Like, hey, you know, are y'all nervous? Vanessa was saying, are y'all nervous? And Shake was like, you know, I'm really nervous about how I was edited. Wait, what? Why are you starting with that?
I think it's very obvious that out of everyone, Shake probably realized, because at this point when the reunion takes place, I think they've all watched the show and it's already aired. It's a year later. So Shake knows the hate that he was received. And I feel like this whole reunion was Shake trying to decide, do I go all into the villain role and just kind of own it? Or do I try to like clear my name? And he kind of tried to do both, which was kind of annoying. It's like, pick a lane. So he started out with saying like, oh, my edit wasn't great. Like, clearly it was very hard being me and having to deal with all the stuff I said throughout the season. Edits certainly can do smash cuts and make people look worse. They can't make up things that you say, though. And when you say the same things over and over and over, and like, and Shake, I think given everything that happened, you got the most favorable edit that you could have hoped for. Because I think there were people out there, and I think even Vanessa Lachey says it at one point, like, who thought that your edit was like a growth arc, like mm-hmm. a look where he was and look where he ended up, yeah. right? And I mean, it kind of, up until I'd say the weddings, it looks kind of like a growth arc. Like, even when he's constantly even telling his mom or telling his friends that he's not sure he's attracted to her, they clearly, and then they mentioned in the reunion, like, did not show some of the maybe worst things that he was saying about Deep Deep throughout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did they, do you think they saw the entire season?
Up to this point, I don't know if they saw the weddings, but I think that they saw a bit, because they did talk about the bachelor parties. But yeah, I'm trying to think of, because several times they were saying like, when you saw this scene, and I don't know if they said when you saw the scene about like watching, like with Shane and Natalie. I don't think that they necessarily mentioned when you watched the scene about the fight. So I think that they probably saw at the very least. I mean, they would, since they did them in drops, they probably saw the first two drops. Maybe not the weddings. They definitely saw the first drop, for sure.
It feels so easy to just be like, all right, you're all going to arrive here. We're going to show you the wedding episode, and then let's talk.
Maybe they didn't even see the second drop. I'm not sure. But I thought that they mentioned some scenes from that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was just, it was like certain things that kind of tipped me off that, okay, maybe they haven't seen that. Like, maybe they've only seen clips, because a lot of the reactions seemed fresh. Like if you think about the Jarrett and Mallory conversation, Sal's reaction to it was like pure instant, like like he felt disrespected.
Right.
And I didn't know if that was like, is that a fresh reaction or, oh, he's reminded of like, dang, that sucked.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I think Shake came in like, this is his last chance. The after the altar might happen, but was that only a result of COVID that they ended up even doing that in the first place for season one? Are they going to do it for season two? You don't know. And so Shake is coming in here, trying to both like make himself look better. Also, I think spread some of the villainy onto other people and make himself look better by comparison in his mind. And I don't think that's ever really going to work.
Ever. Yeah.
Speaking of the after the altar, our previous guests, Jason, Isaiah, and Sasha, all mentioned kind of liking season one a little better just because they felt like they liked the cast better. Scally, do you have any thoughts on that? How you felt about this season in comparison?
I think what it is that almost, and I think that it's more a product of editing than actually the cast, is that they kind of villainized one member of each couple to a certain extent. And if not villainized, like they really made one person like the likable underdog hero. And so like in Sal and Mallory, like it was Sal, and Natalie and Shane, it was Natalie. So even the couples that like I like,
wasn't in Kyle and Shayna.
Kyle and Shayna, like I feel like Kyle's supposed to be getting like the underdog edit. Yeah. We'll talk about Kyle, but I feel like for the most part, they tried to get you to definitely have a side that they wanted you to pick. And that might have come at the expense of really rooting hard for any one couple.
True. I could see that. So this next section after like that, they start with really is they just kind of dive into Natalie's feelings for Shane in the pods. Like they're only isolating that part of Natalie and Shane's relationship to in order to get Shayna's opinion about it. So I thought that was just kind of, I was like, why not just go ahead and knock out Natalie and Shane altogether?
Yeah, they kind of hopped around. Like that was something I noticed about this reunion. I feel like the first time, and this might just be, I didn't rewatch the first season reunion, so maybe it's just my memory. I felt like they kind of went couple by couple and went through like updates on where you're at, etc. This time they really broke it down by like specific moments. The only thing I didn't like about this moment was I didn't like that they said, Shayna, how was it to hear Natalie brag about her connection with Shane? And I'm like, I mean, she had a connection. What are you not supposed to talk? You put them all in this room. Clearly, they're supposed to talk about their connections. And I kind of feel like that's the name of the game, right? Like you're dating people, you know that other people are. If you don't mention who your connection is, then somebody else may try to go for it. Like you kind of want people to know, like, hey, just so you know, like, I mean, you could do it in a nice way. But I, at least from the edit, it seemed like both Natalie and Shayna were kind of telling each other that they had connections with Shane. I don't think it like came out of nowhere, but. Well,
and even more than like you have to stake your claim by any means, I like if the person that you're interested in seems to be telling someone else like so much more than they're telling you, like, wouldn't you want to know that?
Right.
So like from Shayna's perspective, when Natalie's saying, oh, Shayna's saying I'm his number one, then yeah. as Shayna, I'd be like, oh, maybe I'm reading this wrong and I need to either ask about this or back off and start looking elsewhere towards my priorities. So I don't think Natalie was bragging. I think every one person in that room was doing it, but it's more fun to phrase it that way, I guess, on the reunion.
I guess. It just seems, I feel like they should have almost like swapped it around. And ask, because I feel like you could have asked the same question, like, hey, Natalie, how was it to hear Shayna brag about her connection? But maybe Shayna didn't. Maybe she kept it more under wraps. We don't know.
Right. Or like, oh, hey, Mallory, how did it feel to hear Ayana brag about her? You know, right. like,
yeah,
it was just odd. And I got that they were just trying to bring Shayna into the conversation. But I will mm-hmm. give her credit for this whole reunion for owning up to everything. You disagree.
Okay. Well, my disagreement is I think a couple people, and Shake does it at times, Shane does it at times, and Shayna does it at times. There's like this move that people on these, especially dating reality shows, do where they basically say, look, I own it. I own that I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. I own that. I'm owning that. And they just keep repeating that they own it. It doesn't mean anything to own a mistake if you don't apologize for the effects of the mistake, which sometimes they do, but there was a little bit of, I apologize if what I did hurt you. Like, okay, come on. But you need to actually apologize. And then you need to like show that, like, okay, Asia, if I punch you and then I'm like, I own it. I punched you. That was my bad. That's not going to make you feel better. You're going to be like, wait a second. I need you to like, tell me why it was wrong. Like go through the process of like remorse and understanding why and prove to me that you're not going to do it again. Because I think with Shayna, especially, it was like she just kept saying that she was owning the mistakes she made without like just saying you own. It's like I declare bankruptcy, not actually doing anything. You need to actually own it, not just say you own it. So, I mean, it was good that she did that. And hopefully behind the scenes, there were some other steps made, maybe.
Right. Hey, well, to just so it's out there, Mary, I would instantly forgive you.
Oh, no. Watch out at know-it-alls.
Hey, I own it. I own it.
If you own it, I have no choice but to instantly forgive you. So, but yeah, I guess that is true. You can own it all day and it just depends on the person. I was able to see a little bit more growth in Shayna and Shane than Shake. So it just seemed like, you know, that Shayna and Shane weren't 100% of the time, because there were moments, we'll get into it, but 100% of the time taking that victim mentality like Shake was.
Shake out here just making all of these other people look so mature by comparison.
Right. That's probably what it is. That it all because they have Shake to compare to. Yes, that's probably what it is.
It helps.
Yeah. But we transition into them talking to Shane. And just kind of talking about like the mix up. And that's when, and we've heard this a little bit, like in articles about, you know, when they're in the pods, they're really just talking through like a tiny mic and they're hearing it through like a speaker. So it's not as clear as we hear it, but you know, he did own up to like, look, I do regret going into attack mode instantly. I should have just listened. And even Kyle owned up to saying he mixed up two of the girls once. And so what did y'all think about, you know, Shane's, I guess, understanding of his role in the pods leading to his relationship with Natalie?
Shane, I'm watching this whole thing. So as much as I also tried to like wait for the reunion and like get in there right away and watch, it was impossible to avoid on TikTok. So like I was scrolling fast, but it kept coming. And so the only thing I did know at this point is it was like all of the women in the cast do follow Shane on like Instagram and socials, but do not follow Shake. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So with Shane, I was watching it through that perspective. Like, why do the entire cast like stand with him and like him and still associate? And I think Shane is like almost there. Like, he is learning and he's trying. It's not perfect by any means, but in this moment, like at least here, he is saying like, no, this was my fault. I should not have gone into attack mode. I don't know why I did this. It was completely like the absolute wrong reaction, and it's my biggest regret on the show. I like Shane in this moment, but you know, he has his up and downs like any other.
I agree with Scally. Like, Shane, it's so hard because there's so much about Shane that I know, like, would be very difficult to tolerate, like, just me as a personality. Like, it would be hard for me to talk to Shane because he's a lot. Like, I'm very introverted and Shane is, whew, like, I don't know, breaks the scale, right? But I think I believe it more with Shane. Like, I think Shane is nothing if not very earnest and, like, very upfront with his emotions. Like, so much so to where sometimes you're like, oh, that's like you're like the word gaslighting gets thrown around a lot with mm-hmm. with Shane. And I think they even say here, they say like, you were gaslighting Natalie into like her reaction to your mistake of thinking that she was Shayna in this yeah. moment when you, you know, in the pods. And I think the problem is that gaslighting comes with like a like an ownership of someone like actively doing something on purpose. And with Shane, I feel like sometimes it's hard to tell whether or not he's sort of like reacting right away. Oh, this is going to sound so bad, but this is kind of my example. It's like Shane is like a crime of passion person, right? Like he like does something instantly. He's not like premeditating his like things. I think it is like very much from his emotion. So with mm-hmm. Shane, there's sometimes where some things he says I'm like all completely on board with. Like when he shuts Shakedown multiple times, I'm like, yes, like you're saying exactly what everyone's thinking right now. Like this is great. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, you're not quite there. But I do buy that he is someone who watched this show, watched moments with himself, and came away thinking there are some like places where I messed up and I need to grow and I need to learn. And hopefully he does because of that. Whereas I think like Shake watched the show and just thought, oh my gosh, look how bad I've been edited. It's not my fault at all.
Right. Very true. Yeah, I definitely see those points. It's not, I guess when I look at Shane, it's like he doesn't want, like you said, it's not premeditated. It's not that he's intentionally trying to think like, okay, if I do this, then this will happen. If I do this, just acting in the moment. And sometimes it's just like, oh, you know, you can tell he really loves Natalie. And sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, he is just not equipped to know how to properly love Natalie. And so we did get the moment with Natalie of her being portrayed by both Shayna and Shane, because this big, why did the conversation happen? So we find out that like Shane thought he was going in to propose to Natalie, but it was actually a conversation with Shayna explaining that she, you know, she felt strongly about him. And so Natalie felt betrayed because Shayna lied about, you know, what she was doing, and Shayna apologized. But then Kyle was like, wait, why did this happen? Right? Like, why did the meeting happen at all if you were so in on me? So I think we did talk about this of just like, if he already felt that he was going to be with Natalie, like, why did this meeting happen again? Because it was always like he had already made the decision. What are your thoughts on that, Scally?
See, I thought it was really funny when even Vanessa was like, yeah, production, why did you do that? Like, she was like, I agree. This was a bad decision. And so, like, I get that Shane was blindsided again. And I think that it's kind of a reaction. Like, production saw what happened when Shane thought he was talking to Shayna and was actually talking to Natalie mm-hmm. and almost was like, ooh, we could do that again? Question mark. Like, we could get that moment in reverse. So, like, it's hard because I recognize it's a reality show and like you're going for the scenes, and I've seen like much more manipulative things happen on others and yes. It's unfortunate. I wonder exactly like what the process of setting these meetings up is. Is it just one person wants them, you got to do them, or is it like mutually agreed upon? So it seems a little shady, and obviously you wish Shane would react better, but I can see him like being frustrated as like, I didn't want this meeting. Like, mm-hmm. not even just mad about, like, why didn't you say this earlier? But why is this happening? Like, I don't want this conversation to be happening at all, let alone how it's going.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I do think that this is something that does happen. Now, here's me taking a moment to pretend once again that people care about my limited dating history. But I've been in a situation where I was dating someone, the person, the third party person knew I was dating someone, but was like, you know what? I don't want to miss this opportunity. I'm going to shoot my shot anyway. And at the time, I remember, like, yes, perfect me would have been like, excuse me, how dare you? I am dating someone. You know that. But instead, I was like, wow, kind of sucks that you told me this now. If I had known this back when I was single, that would have been different. Like, maybe things would have been different. And part of that is because, like, I'm sure that Shane was also thinking this. It's like, part of you wants to be like, Shayna, why didn't you say this earlier? Because, like, you almost, it's not exactly want to put it on the other person, but you want to, like, reassure the other person that this isn't coming out of nowhere. Like, you know, you had a connection with them. It just wasn't, the timing wasn't right, or it wasn't brought up in the right moment. So I understand where Shane's coming from at this point. This is where I'm back to the whole rolling my eyes at Shayna nonsense. Because even when Kyle asks, like, what was the point of this? She was like, I wasn't planning on going in there to give him an ultimatum. It's like, yes, you were. Again, if you are going to own it, own what you did. You can't just say, I own that I made a mistake. You have to actually say, you know what? I went in there. I even though I had already been proposed to, I wanted to see what possibility there was out there. And if Shane really did like me enough to have some second thoughts about Natalie, this is my life too. This is my romance too. I want to see what this is going. That is what's owning it. Saying that is owning it. Just saying, oh, I don't know what I was going to say to him. Yes, you did. You went in there with a purpose.
Yeah, she. It was all part of her process, Mary.
Well, and that I get. I get when they say, like, it's all part of their process, but they, like, a couple people said, oh, it was just part of the process. What you mean is it was part of my options to go see who I could possibly marry. That's what you meant.
Right, right.
Hiding behind the words.
Right. Before we transitioned into, because since Kyle spoke up, they're like, well, let's go ahead and talk about a little bit about Kyle and Shayna. Yeah, it was. Whoever speaks up, we're going to talk about your relationship, but just hold your seat. We're going to come back to you in about 20 minutes. This was one of the first, or this was the second time that Shake has interrupted and inserted himself. And he decided, hey, while we're talking about Shane and Shayna and Natalie and Kyle, I want to say something. I don't think this show is about finding your wife. I think it's about finding love. And that's the takeaway I had. I don't think I should be put in a box of just marrying someone after a few weeks. Bruh, what are you talking about? That's the show. It's not being put in a box. This is what you signed up for.
Yeah, it's just like, I feel like there are so many people on other love shows where, like, the expectation is to get engaged or whatever the commitment is at the beginning. And, like, they also are feeling similarly of, like, oh, I'm gonna, like, get married or date and then figure it out after. I think that, like, arguing that that's what you were always here for and that other people should think just like you do isn't going to make you any more likable. So, like, even if it's all true and you say it, like, I don't think that it's an unreasonable opinion to have, but then don't come on this show, apply to a different one. And that's all that it is.
And I know, Asia, you've talked about it being similar in Married at First Sight, where it's like a lot of times people will get married and then they'll be like, okay, now we're kind of dating, but we just have, like, a different label under us. And I think that's the case for this. I think the two couples from both season one and season two who got married, they probably sort of reversed a little bit back into, like, now we're going to kind of get to know each other more. We just got this label. And I do think that the show would have more success with long lasting relationships if there wasn't the 3 week then marriage segment. Yeah. However, I think that you're going to get way fewer people who take the show even seriously at all. I think you're going to end up having fewer actual marriages that come out of it. And I think you kind of need the pressure of a wedding. Like, I think even at this point with dating shows, getting engaged isn't enough, because I think enough people look at it as getting engaged as, like, oh, well, you can just take that back. Like, whatever. But, like, with a wedding, you need to either, you know, if you actually get married, like, you're going to, annul it or get divorced or whatever. And that's, like, a bigger decision. And I think there are a lot of people who just still in their minds, like, will not, don't want to don't want to go through that if they think it's not worth it. And so I think if you want people to really take the show seriously, that's the case. And this is the first time of many that we'll hear that maybe Shake did not understand the premise of the show.
Right. Because he thinks he's speaking for people at home. Right. But then it's like, yeah, I also wouldn't want to marry someone after knowing them 3 weeks, but I also didn't sign up for Love is Blind. That's right. The difference.
Right.
He thinks he's like, oh, I'm just like, you know, this is wild. That's what everybody else is thinking. It's like, no, but you signed up for the show. Yes. So don't try to act like you're above it all now.
You sound like Russell Hantz trying to convince everyone that America just needs to vote on the winner of Survivor. That's a different show.
Yeah. And if we want to talk about like the difference between knowingly lying to someone, like he was not like telling Deep Dee, like, I came on this to find love, not to get married. So like he was putting her through the entire process and letting her go for this entire stretch of time, wasting her experience. So that is the even bigger problem,
or more importantly wasting Kyle's.
Right. So speaking of Kyle, when him and Shayna, basically he's just hurt. He's overall just hurt. He tells Shayna, like, no one put a gun to your head to say yes. He doesn't understand why she said yes in the first place. It was kind of hard for him to watch back seeing her receive his mom's ring. But then Shayna says she felt a little manipulated by him giving her that engagement ring, because it's like, oh, well, that was your mom's. Like, why would you give me that? I couldn't accept that. Girl, what are you talking about?
I don't know the statistics, but I would, based on the people I know, roughly guess bare minimum 25%, maybe higher, of people who get engaged use an heirloom ring, possibly higher than that. It's not. I guess what Kyle was trying to say was, like, if this had worked and I found someone to marry who really wanted to get engaged with me, it would be great to have the heirloom ring. Like, that's a pretty special thing to give someone. I don't really get what she's saying with, like, she felt pressure. If anything, she should have felt pressured to say no, yes,
exactly,
because you understand how serious this is, he's taking it. So the fact that even with the ring you said yes, that's you leading him on. That's what we call that. And again, with the Shayna not owning up, like, yeah, everyone at home is thinking, and this is the only time where I'm going to give Shake any credit again, is when he says things like, okay, come on. But wasn't there even like a little bit of you that was just kind of spurred on by like wanting to stay on the show for whatever reason, whether that may be to, you know, just have a better experience or to, because I think everyone jumped on him and were like, wait, you mean she was clout chasing? It's like, I'm not exactly saying that. Like, maybe she was truly trying to look into like the Shane relationship or whatever. But I do think there was part of her that didn't want to just completely shut the door on the rest of the experience, whatever that was. And I think that that's
the record. Off the record, though.
Off the record. Off the record? We're on a reunion show. What are you talking about?
It's just, there are two couples who went through the entire, like, getting engaged process and got no edit, got no TV time, got no nothing. So, like, I don't think the argument that Shake is making, like, maybe you wanted to continue the process, whether that's to be on TV or to try to see if you could then talk to another conversation with Shane later on, is totally out of the possibility here for Shayna. The problem that I'm running into here is that, like, yes, I think that they wanted us to have, like, Shayna's the villain of this couple. I don't understand Kyle either, really. Yeah. Like, it's just, he is confusing me. Like, I'm, you know, he's coming here peacocking with the new piercings, but just it threw me off. And for me, like, yes, I agree that the pressure and like it should have been to say no once it's like a ring that's that important.
Yes. But
for Kyle to be proposing with a ring that is that important to him after like saying there is like very big issues between us that I do not see how we overcome, and then just saying, you know what, I'm willing to throw all of that away and I don't care. It's like, these feel like big things that you just want to, whether it is that you just want to continue on the show or just like want to get married so badly. I don't understand Kyle here at all.
I don't understand Kyle there. I don't understand Kyle post proposal. at the point where she leaves Mexico, and there were a lot of hints he was not picking up on. And this is where I would like some Kyle ownership. Kyle, if you're listening, turn this off now. Kyle, let's be honest. Shayna may have been just trying to stay on the show to pursue other processes or whatever, but you thought that Shayna was very attractive and didn't care about any of the other issues in your relationship and just wanted to go with that. Like, you picked up on zero red flags. and this is not to say that there was no connection between them in the pods. I think there was. Like, that's, you know, that's understandable. I get that. I'm talking once she leaves Mexico, once you see her and she's not wearing the ring and you're like, why aren't you wearing the ring? You know why she's not wearing the ring. You know. Don't make us say it. Okay. Kyle, come on.
Yeah, it was so a couple things. I think the move for Kyle was to do something similar to Nick and Danielle. Danielle got a family heirloom from, you know, Nick's grandmother later on once they knew this is legit, right?
Yes.
That's what you do. Yes. Wait. You know you want to do it. Just wait on that ring. Give her something temporary, especially because you don't know if this is going to work out. And so that was just odd. And then my thing with Shake chiming in here is just like, worry about yourself. You have way too many other issues to discuss for you to be chiming in on every other relationship except your own. All, you know.
I love the solidarity, though. After every single one of these times where I write Shake interrupts, under it, I write, once again, everyone is annoyed with Shake. It's like everyone else is like, and this is something that I don't know if this was just editing. I wanted to call this out, though. You notice it, especially when they do the Shane and Natalie segments. People do a really good job on this show of like, well, with the exception of Shake, letting someone else talk. Like, there are so many times when they'll ask really uncomfortable questions to like Shane and Shayna and Natalie, and you just see Natalie sitting there like biting her tongue. Like, you could see all the expressions. And I know that some people, like, again, with these reunion shows, you want the people standing up and yelling and just fighting. But there gets to a point where you're like, I can't even understand what's happening because it's just a yelling war between people. And it's mm-hmm. sometimes more powerful to, like, see the emotion on the person's face. I don't know. To me, again, I know it's a TV show. I know it's a reality show. But it made it feel more real. And that's what I need out of my shows.
Like a real conversation.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, the maturity on these people. Like, I could not hold my tongue. Yeah. That's happening.
Yeah, it's like, well, we have that. We still had Shake interrupting during them saying, I just had a hard time taking this seriously. Well, that's on you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So then we move into the Ayana, Jarrett, Sal. I was going to say salary. Mallory and Salvador of it all. So we find out that, so this mainly is focused on that conversation between Mallory and Jarrett in Mexico. And so, you know, Ayana does tell us that she couldn't watch that episode together. Like, they did not watch together. She just knew she couldn't. And, you know, we see the scene. It's even more uncomfortable. Like, I was cringing, and we've seen this already. Was cringing just watching them watch it back. And it was just like, oh no. And Ayana admits that her anger was correctly placed on Jared. She said, Mallory has no allegiance to me. She doesn't owe me anything. You know, my anger was with Jared. We talked about it. And Jared admits, Jason and Isaiah, Jared admits he should have never said these things. And he does apologize to Ayana for making her look, he said, for making her look crazy, basically. And Sal chimes in on the segment as well, because he's just like, look, that was straight up disrespectful. He forgives Jared. He forgives Mallory. And then they kind of touch on, like, they gave it an honest shot, but they don't dive into them just yet. But they just, we get that little snippet. What'd y'all think about just that?
Yeah. There's another person who says, I'll be a man and own up to it. I own that. I'm not playing the victim. What are you owning? What are you owning? Okay, no, Jared and Mallory both do say that it was just a very inappropriate conversation that shouldn't happen. Yes. I think that probably alcohol was not a non-factor in this mm-hmm. scenario. Like, I think that was probably something to be a part of it. I was happy with the fact that they had the conversation. I really did like the fact that Jared turns to Ayana and says, like, we've talked about it. We know that it happened, but I'm basically going to spend the rest of my life making sure she knows that she is never second to anyone. And mm-hmm. like, this is it for me. We haven't mentioned yet Ayana sporting a very different hairstyle.
Yes.
It's cute. She looked great. I really loved the married couples in their, like,
matching
outfits, the red on Jared and Ayana and then the blue on Nick and Danielle. It was very cute. So I do think this was a good moment. Like, I do think that if I was Ayana, this would be really hard to watch, because
so
there's
hard.
Like, very obvious chemistry between them. And it's something that we talked a lot about throughout the episodes, of like questioning some of Sal and Mallory's chemistry when it just seemed night and day from this scene. But it doesn't go anywhere with them. I think that we were proven wrong, and that a year later they seem very happy. So I'm glad about that. But I don't know if I was Sal, and especially if I had just watched this episode, I guess I probably also would be like, wow, Mallory, do you remember all those times that you told me, like, that this didn't mean anything and this conversation was nothing and it was just mm-hmm. a big joke? I'm looking at it. Clearly, it was more than you portray. People, remember this. When you go on a show, just assume that everything you said and did was 100% filmed and going to be
exactly.
shown. Like, at all times, because you cannot lie and get away with it.
Treat life that way, too. Just imagine there's a hidden camera.
Asia,
stop lying to people.
This is great. Imagine there was a hidden camera. Stop lying to people. Very good. What do you think, Scally, about this moment?
I felt like this was a segment that needed to be addressed. Like, sure, this conversation probably should have happened at some point with them, but in the process of just, like, addressing, like, the elephant in the room. Hey, we're both here. We're going to be continuing on. We're going to be seeing each other. But it didn't have to mm-hmm. go in the manner that it went. And I think that was, like, Sal's main point. Like, you, like, said it was a joke, but then it didn't feel like a joke. And then, like, either one of you could have stopped this or, like, corrected it. And it was kind of like how things were said, almost even more than anything. So I get them addressing it. I think that probably they've done a lot of work, like, off of the show already addressing this.
Right.
And glad for everyone to have worked through it ultimately.
Yeah, and I see people being so hard on Mallory, like, especially on Twitter, just saying, like, oh, I don't trust her, you know, how's she calling him Jer Bear? Like, as if she's the only one in that conversation. Like, they were going tit for tat. She called him Jer Bear. He called her Mal Mal. Like, you know, he was commenting on the ring. She was saying things she likes, basically describing him to a T of the type of guys that she likes. So it was a very, like, both parties were actively involved in the conversation. Yes, I'm glad it did happen earlier on rather than, like, you know, a few weeks into the process and the marriages are about to happen and they're just now having that conversation. So it's good it happened early. I think it would have been a lot more damaging had it happened later. But I could just see it in Ayana's face that they have worked through this and she has gone through that process of forgiving him, or forgiving that situation and just kind of moving forward. I mean, she did say it was re-traumatizing to watch it, after experiencing it, but just their chemistry on that reunion stage and just how they were like looking at each other, like you said, Mary, it felt like they have moved forward. So I'm glad we can put a pin in that.
And I know some people probably felt like Sal was continuing to push it. It's like, oh, but they say they owned it. Why don't you just... Because I think what Sal was trying to get was like, I don't want you to just say that you own it. I feel like I'm just harping on the same things. But that Sal was like, I want you to understand, like, I want to know, like, an answer to why did it happen? And why did you do it in this way? And then why did you lie about it later? And that kind of thing. And I think that that's understandable for the reunion. If your goal of the reunion is to, like, move on and get closure. Because for Sal and Mallory, who you mentioned before, they check in with them and they kind of say, like, that they did end up meeting up for coffee after the wedding and they chatted, but they didn't really think it made sense to continue on. And they're definitely the couple who has the most private kind of feel to everything. Yeah. Like they don't really want to dig into things and talk about it, which is also what it felt like on the show. And that's interesting. And I wonder if some of it is actually like liability, like not liability is not the right word, but like, if there's outside people involved, like exes and stuff, that maybe they're like not allowed to talk about. Like, I know on Big Brother and stuff, you have to get clearance to talk about certain people, at least by name. So I'm not sure. Then again, none of my exes cleared me to talk about anything on this podcast. So.
I would say definitely by name I could understand. I wouldn't think that if you were just using like anonymous terms, yeah, that you would not be able to get away with speaking about things. I will say from Sal's perspective on this first conversation with involving like Mallory and Jarrett, like Ayana wanted to watch it alone, but then they did sit down and talk about it. Sal and Mallory did not continue their relationship and thus did not watch it together, then probably did not have a very lengthy, detailed conversation about it. And so this is his chance to like actually say how he feels, which we've already seen he is not wanting to do so much on this episode in general. So for him to do that at all, I feel like he really felt the need to like express himself and had not already gotten that opportunity.
Very true. Yeah. Because those were raw emotions. But yeah, you're right. He didn't have, you know, he didn't have a reason to have a sit down with Mallory in order to move forward after watching it. So then, yeah, we move on from Jarrett and Ayana for now and jump into Nick and Danielle. The main thing we got from them was that they are still blissful. They realized that the pressure of I do's and I don'ts leading up to that was caused a lot of stress on their relationship. So once they passed that, they were able to just move forward. She moved to his place. He has stable furniture. They're not breaking things. We hit this like home footage section to show like her dog or her cat, his dog, and the Rock Band set is out and visible in the living room. And this is where we find out like his uncle gave her their grandmother's wedding ring. So she showed that off. Cute.
I actually, with them, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought this might be where we got some hot mess stuff. But I think it actually explains a lot about their relationship and the edit we saw, which was a little bit wild of the two of them just like butting heads at every turn. I think that it would make more sense now to know like they were basically trying to bring up any possible thing that might make them not a compatible couple. Mm-hmm. And it kind of reminds me of like if you live by yourself for a really long time, which both of them had, and you think about like your processes, you know, whether it be I sleep on this side of the bed or like, oh my gosh, my closet has all my stuff in it. I can understand how you might worry, like, how are we possibly going to mesh this? Like, what? But I take out the trash in this way. What if you take out the trash in this way? And I can see where you'd get into arguments about this. And then when you actually move in together, you're like, wait, this, like, we'll just adapt. It doesn't matter. And so it's yeah. That's kind of what happened. Like, it seems like they did that. You know, it was cute. Like, I'm sure that you know, their life's not perfect and they probably have things that they're going through. But I was glad to see, I was pleasantly surprised to see that they ended up okay. Like, I think we all thought that they were going to be the Lauren and Cameron, and then, like, they actually turned into the Amber Barnett of the season in some ways. At least that was my impression of them. I mean, like, nobody could be the Lauren and Cameron. Let's be honest.
It's impossible.
Impossible bar. Yeah.
What do you think of them, Scally?
So I also had pretty low expectations coming in here. I was ready for this. Did not get that, though. They seem to just be, like, completely happy and blissful and amazing. And I think that that's, like, a number of things where, like, yeah, just being on a TV show in general, it's going to be stressful, and having your life filmed, and, like, that's going to put on added pressure, let alone mm-hmm. the decision of having to decide if you're getting married to someone in 3 weeks. Like, I can stand in a store for an hour and deciding between two different color grays for a sweatshirt. So, like, it's like, there's so many things that you think about, like, oh my God, this is one of the biggest life changes that they're ever going to have, you know, you would think. And so it's so easy to put a lot of pressure, especially with Danielle dealing with, like, anxiety and everything else mm-hmm. on top of that. And then once it actually happens and the cameras go away and you're like, oh, this is normal. Yeah. Yeah, like, it can have, like, you know, some small arguments pop up here and there. I'm glad to see that they have not been to the frequency and or seemingly the extent that they had on the show.
Yeah.
But it's just like, once that pressure is off, I feel like everything else just seems to calm down around it. And so I'm happy to see that with them.
And it could be, you know, with them saying the looming like the weddings looming over their relationship, you know, maybe that did help a few of Danielle's insecurities with thinking that Nick liked or yeah, Nick. Yeah. thinking that Nick likes her, because it's like, okay, well, now we're married. You know, I wouldn't have gotten married to you if I didn't like you a little bit, you know? So maybe that helps with, like, you know, all the questioning she had that we at least saw. So good for them. Right. Like, if they're happy, I'm happy for them.
Proud of
for
them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested to see if we ever get to check in on these couples, like, how they're doing, especially if we film, like, a couple days with them again. Mm-hmm. How does that go? But yeah. As of right now, I think, like, good for them. Great. Excited to see, you know, once they pop up on my For You page every so often.
Right. I mean, for all we know, they may have just normalized all of the arguing that they do. Who knows? You know, no one knows people's relationships like they do. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Yeah, I'm sure it'll creep on our For You pages. But then we put the car in reverse and went back to Mallory and Salary. Why do I keep doing that?
Mallory and Salary.
I was rolling with it. I like it.
Yeah, I like it. That was good.
I thought it was funny that Nick Lachey was like, from one musician to another. That was truly some great music. Like, yeah, he had to call that out.
Yeah, he called that out. And then he talks about, Sal's like, look, there are things that happen between us that I don't really feel comfortable talking about because it's pointless now. Which is actually, like, a pretty mature, healthy way. I mean, I know it doesn't bring the drama, but it's very mature to be like, look, our relationship's over. We don't really need to drag up old issues, especially, mm-hmm. and I think that this is the main point, when they weren't on the show. Like, with all the other couples, they can point to moments and be like, you know, Sal, how did you feel about watching their conversation or whatever? But with this, it seems like, for whatever reason, I don't know if they were just timing their arguments really well after the camera crew left or whatever. They weren't on the show, and they did include some other people. So they both say, like, they shared a strong connection, but were very different. And so we got into a lot of arguments based on how we didn't communicate. And then Sal gets some closure by saying, like, he felt kind of unheard during a lot of those arguments, which mm-hmm. I think is also something that is kind of useful when having these conversations with an ex, where it's like, even though we're not together and this isn't going to benefit our relationship, I want you to understand, like, I don't know if you guys have either felt this way where it's like sometimes you date someone and then you're like, yeah, I just like, I want them to realize the things that they did that hurt me, even though it doesn't matter anymore. It's like, just so that maybe they don't do it in the future or that they mm-hmm. learn something or so mm-hmm. that I can feel like my experience and that my, like, you know, pain or my sadness or whatever, like, I don't know, can do some good or like that it doesn't go unnoticed, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I kind of get that when he's talking about that.
Yeah. I've had breakups in the past where I'm like, I no longer care, so I want to end it, but I need you to know why this is happening. So, like, yeah. Make sure you understand, like, long conversation of, like, you understand that I did not like this. It made me feel this way. But.
Which is different, by the way, from some things we'll talk about in the future, which mm-hmm. are just someone piling on and piling on after someone has already said, I get it.
Like, this is right. Anyway. True. Yeah. So it's during, or go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to say with Sal and Mallory, I think if I was like being won over by any couple, like in the real time, it was this one because we didn't see that many of the disagreements. I felt mm-hmm. like Mallory expressed like a little bit of hesitation once they first arrived in Mexico, and then we really only got happy scenes from there. And so yeah. like, never mind like Sal, I feel like unresolved about how this went, like I like what happened, like why. And so like, I get that it is mature and like great to like not want to dredge up old feelings, but I feel like there was a way that we could have like addressed this a little bit, because I feel like we left the show and they were going to talk and see if they can do anything. And then we get here and they're barely looking at each other and don't really right. want to address anything. So like, it's just like a weird disconnect for me where they're not the same, like two that I saw on the show mm-hmm. through the edited version throughout. And that's just like not my favorite in terms yeah. of like how I'm closing the book on them. Mm-hmm. So ideally I would have liked if we didn't have to go through like, oh, so this argument happened and then this argument happened. But yeah. like, yeah, like Sal saying he felt unheard, like that's kind of like the general like topic that I more would want to just be like, these were the problems in our relationship. This is why we didn't work out. And then we're good moving forward. Like, that's all that I wanted.
And it's the line between people who they followed the format of the experience and the experiment very well. They were not, however, particularly great at also giving the reality show anything.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's where you need a happy medium, because I do feel like I watch them and I'm like, oh, I get it. Like you want to protect your, I don't know, your image, and you don't want to be either one of them and like throw big things at the other person and then, you know, get slandered on Twitter for it. Like you don't want to put yourself in that position. But at the same time, come on, you're giving us nothing.
Exactly. Absolutely nothing. I think this would have been a perfect opportunity for Vanessa or Nick Lachey to say,
Vanessa,
like,
or Nick, the host, not the other person who's going to interrupt, but Vanessa or Nick.
Yes. Perfect opportunity to just be like, okay, well, I know you're not going to get into everything, but at least one thing. What's one thing that the people at home don't know that, you know, caused, you know, this to happen? Because it looked optimistic. You know, so that would have helped. We'll never get it. It's okay.
I felt like more often than like just pushing the tiniest little bit, it would be like them jumping in with like, we don't have to talk about this if you don't want to. And it's like,
yeah,
I feel like that's kind of why we're here personally. so like, I'm assuming you're getting an appearance fee. Like, let's work for it. So it's not like ideal. I understand. And like, you want to like be nice and helpful with this cast, but I could have used just a tiny bit more pushing.
Yeah. So then we get this unwanted, recognizable voice. May I? I just want to say a couple things. Your situation with Jarrett was an uncomfortable thing. Number two, your ex-girlfriend, is that's going to sour the relationship. I'm like, Shake, why are you saying these two things? First of all, we've already kind of gotten into both of these. I feel like the ex situation, there's nothing more that needs to be said. I feel like we kind of understood, even though it was kind of vague on the episode. I feel like we get the point. She didn't like that the ex was involved in family and he was trying to downplay their relationship. We already talked about the Jared and Mallory situation. So what are you adding here? Because all this does is kind of spark everyone like, shut up, Shake. You know, Natalie's like, who are you to say this? And then he's like, look, we're at a reunion. This is what we're supposed to do. And Natalie had to remind him, no, we're here to share our experiences and our thoughts on like what happened. And he's like, well, I just feel like there's some, y'all were some real people that turned fake. And Jared's like, no, you were fake. And Shake thinks he's the realest. And it was just like, why is this happening? It was, that's all of us.
Yeah. Seeing Shane like just physically collapse into his lap every time Shake opens his mouth is so funny to me. He's just like, of course they sat him right next to him where he's just dealing with it. And like,
I'm so surprised he didn't get up and move seats.
Yep. Like collectively, the entire group, every time Shake opens his mouth, like, shut up. Like, none of us care. But Shane himself is just like having a physical meltdown every single time.
Like, and again, I get it. I sometimes understand what Shake is saying. I do not approve. Do not approve. But like, yes. I understand when he's like, he's watched dating shows and he thinks the reunion is the time to just like each person air whatever dirty laundry they want and call out whatever Twitter's thinking, which is true on some dating shows. But this is my happy place. This is my real dating show. Get out of here, Shake. This is where I want people talking about why relationships realistically do and don't work. This is my favorite part about this show. On other reality dating shows, they put them somewhere where it's like a perfect scenario and they date and then they end up coming home and things fall apart because, oh, look at this. Real life is not the same as being on Fantasy Island or whatever. And that's why I like this show, because they put them in the real situation. It's escalated for sure and it's sped up. But Shake, the first part, I think, annoyed me the most, where he was like, your ex soured the relationship. What are you giving them dating advice for? They know why their relationship, like, you know, had issues. They don't need you who watched the tiny little clip to come tell them that. And like, what are you going to get? The best you're going to get from them is being like, yes, you're right. Bringing up my ex, like, soured this situation. Shake.
All knowing Shake.
Yeah, it was very frustrating. And then when people start calling him out, that's when he has the gall to be like, can we get this back on track?
Right.
You're the one who derailed us.
Of all people.
I have never been more frustrated in it. I thought watching Danielle talk about how she needed her friends to be able to dance on the table, I thought that was my breaking point. This is it. This is my new breaking point.
Yes. So because he won't shut up, like literally has the inability to close his mouth, they finally transition to Shake and Deep D. And I was just like, you know, I knew it was going to be rough for Deep D to like look back and see all of these things, because it's just like, I just know when you're in a situation, you're just like, oh, why did I do that? Like, why was I ever in a position of, like she said, why was I ever in a position to respect this man? When she sees everything else. So they give us, you know, the gross things he said in the pods. We see him telling Jared that he feels like Deep D is his aunt, which on a podcast Deep D was on, she did say that right after that conversation with Jared and Shake, Jared said, look, this is what he just said about you. He is not the guy for you. So much respect to Jared, because people are like, why did Jared laugh? Da, 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 da. Well, he went right to Deep D and said, look, that's not the guy for you. And so we get Shake's explanation of, you know, marriage is not that different from a huge purchase. You know, you got to read the fine print. And it was just like, he was standing 10 toes down on his stance of how he went into this and how it was right. And Vanessa said, look, it's Frank. You weren't on the right show. And this is where he's, no, well, I want love to be a little blurry, not so blind. So before we dive into the rest of it, this, what did you think on just his just trying to validate his behavior?
Okay, Shake, you're not wrong that most people dating like to have some physical attraction. You're not wrong about that. And while using the term purchase is, I don't know, the worst metaphor you could have come up with for marriage, it's a big deal that most people have a idea of, or a checklist or goals they would like to hit with their significant other. That's all true. That's not the show. It's not the show you're on. And you can, like, you know, cry till the cows come home about how you feel justified in wanting to make sure that someone was your physical type. That's great. There's a perfect little app for you that I believe is called Tinder.
Right.
Try that for a change. You can start with the physical and try to add the emotional later. Love is blurry. What is that? Okay. Have you seen Natalie's Instagram where it now says Love is Blurry season 2? Do love that. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
Scally, take it away.
Okay. The thing is, if Shake came into this process and truly wanted to try it and came to the conclusion eventually that I wanted this to work, it obviously didn't. I realized about myself that there are things I need to work on, but ultimately I don't think this process would ever work for me. That's fine. Like, he could have said, like, I tried it and I did want it to work and it didn't. And I realized that it didn't. But the thing is that it was very obvious that he came in from, like, day dot, was never interested in actually going through this process the way that it was intended. And so that's the problem for me, where like, you came in knowing that this isn't what you wanted, whereas you didn't, like, discover that. And so, like, those are two very different things.
Very true. Yeah, because it just was like, he's explaining that how he should have been on a different show. He's explaining how this was not the right thing, but thinking, no, but I want to have the emotional connection, so this should be the show that's right for me. But I was so glad that Vanessa called that out, because this isn't too hot to handle. Like, what are you doing? But then they transition there, or they continue on. And this is where Shake explains, look, I find every woman in here beautiful, but the only one that I'm attracted to is Vanessa. What? Vanessa, the woman who just told you that all you wanted to do was find somebody to have sex with. And she said it in a very different way, but she was being very frank. She's like, look, that's all you wanted to do. And he says, how did Nick not just jump up and do something?
I love the fact that this is a show, and I know it's a Netflix show, so they don't have to worry about, like, language or anything like that. I love that this is a show where the host felt comfortable just, like, going off on one of the contestants. Like, that was great. I don't know. I mean, Nick is going to immediately follow this up by telling Shake that that he's basically talking about humans like they're animals. Like, I think what Shake wanted was Love is Blind, where he happened to also find someone who he was incredibly attracted to.
Yeah.
And if you want to get mad at Shayna for leading Kyle on, you got to throw the exact same thing at Shake. But there is still a tiny part of me that feels like, I think Shake would have married Deep D if she said yes. Like, I think that he would be okay with it. I think that that was not the breaking point. It was just the horrible way that he talked about her and, like, got there.
Yes.
Realize that it was going to have an effect on her and her opinion.
This, for me, there's so many parts to break down. Where, like, when he's like, they're all beautiful, but I'm not attracted to them. I, like, and then he says, I'm only attracted to Vanessa. And then I, like Shane, fell out of my chair. And was just, like, I could not believe it. Nick follows it up with the vet joke, and then Shake is like, oh, the vet community is going to be very upset with you, Nick Lachey. I was like, every community is upset with you, Shake. Like, what to speak? You have offended everyone.
The vet community is tweeting out, we do not own Shake. He is not a part of us.
We disavow Shake. Yes. It is. We are not going to stand by him.
Yes.
I don't know that man. I've never seen that man. Oh, yeah. It was just, it's just, but this, I had a problem with this whole segment because, like, you know, they have spent so much time on Shake at this point during this segment. And then it wasn't until Natalie says, like, you know, they know everything that he said about her and she's beautiful inside and out. And then you have people chiming in. And then that's when Shake's like, OK, yeah, I'm the villain. She's the goddess. He's basically just like trying to just nonchalantly accept defeat. Like, OK, I'm the bad guy, whatever. But yes, they did not focus one. I think because I feel like they were distracted by all the terrible, like just him chiming in the whole time. Just like, okay, let's just go at him. Right. That's what I think Vanessa and Nick were thinking, because we didn't focus on their relationship. Like you said, Mary, he would have said yes. We didn't focus on that. They could have said, look, you look like you were about to say yes on decision day, or not decision day. Falling into my Married at First Sight. You're going to say yes at the altar. I do. So why? What change? Like, what change? What was going on that, you know, you went into this with horrible intentions and then now you were ready to marry her. So what about your relationship worked? And why do you feel that she didn't want to continue that? And it was all focused on just him being a horrible person, which he is. But
you know, the more and more I'm thinking about this, I think you're right. I think they saw the first drop. And that's why so much of this was fueled by like what happened in the pods or Mexico and less so of what happened after that. Because, yeah, like there was very little posed, like questions posed to Deep Dee about like her opinions on it or like directly to him. Why do you think Deep Dee said no? Like, come up and give me a reason. Because either you're going to look like a complete fool by trying to put this on her, or you're going to have to own something that you did. And we never really got there at any point. We do have a lot of people supporting Deep Dee. I mean, even when they're saying like that she's a goddess and stuff, like true, but I think that they're kind of missing the point, or like nobody was really even bringing up like she put up with so much and she was still there for you in these moments. And Shake clearly was viewing the dating process as a completely one-sided decision that only he needed to make.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, when he's like, I get it, she's a goddess, you can all villainize me. It's like, sir,
you're a villain.
They have all said that they know way more about you, and none of them have spoken out on what you've said. None of them have gone on social media. None of them have dropped it on this reunion. And I have looked. I have been sleuthing, trying to find out. I am nosy. I want to know, how much should I dislike this man? And it's not out there. So it's not like any of them are really like the active motivation between him being a villain to the audience. Like, it's all him. He's the only one.
And this reunion didn't help. Right. My friend.
Ugh. It's all you. Like, you were responsible for your actions. And then we finally get like where he's been just like digging this grave the whole time. He finally realizes like, he somehow created a step to come out of the hole a little bit and like puts his foot on it. Cause he's like, okay, I do realize I should have handled this differently, but it's just like, no, you're too far gone to now realize you've handled things differently.
And he's going to say, this is jumping ahead, but he's going to say that in the like final wrap up when they go around to each person. He's like, I've learned so much about myself and how I should handle. It doesn't mean anything when you just said it at the end of a reunion show where everyone's been calling out your faults.
Growth arc.
Growth arc. You know what? I was right to be skeptical with the episode 2 growth arc that we had from him.
Oh. Yes. The problem is that he came into this thinking this show is a joke, right? And then once he sees everyone explain their love stories, everyone shows some heartache, everyone showing that they really fell in love with these people. Like after what we're about to talk about with Natalie and Shane, like how do you not, you know, realize that real feelings were developed in here? And I think once he realized going through the whole cast that this happened, he's like, oh, shoot. Okay, well, you know, this was the wrong show for me. Like, no, too late.
I don't know if you've seen the Shake Like Fan Club Instagram account that is around. And like a real the thing? There is an account that is like, it's not, I'm not Shake, I'm the fan club. And there's a lot of rumors that allegedly it may be Shake himself.
and, I mean, nothing screams more of person doing something than saying, it's not me, I promise. Yep. It's not me, guys.
He's reposting all the content on his own story. It's like attacking other cast members and like trying to villainize them, which is like what he's also doing on this reunion show. So the behavior displayed is similar, if it is true, allegedly, which is just more fun to think that it is. Also, it's just like, oh my God, this is embarrassing. Like to be continuing this outside of the show.
And it's fine to be a villain if you actually own it. It's not, you're not owning being a villain if you're like, oh, fine, poor me. Everything I do is wrong. I'm always the worst. Yeah, that's fine. I own it. That's not, it's like playing the villain victim.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing. Trust me, I did it as a kid. Like, I'm getting in a fight with my mom. Oh, I know. Everything I do is the worst. I'm the worst. I know. It's just me. Poor me. Like, yeah, I've been there. I own that I did that when I was a child. Remind me to text my mom after this and apologize for my poor behavior as a kid.
You were behaving the same as a 32-year-old Shake.
That I feel better about myself. I was like 12, so it's okay.
Right.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Before we moved, I guess before we went on to Natalie and Shane, they went back to Kyle and Shayna to, I guess, reconfirm the reason that she wasn't into him. And she said she was already hesitant before she saw him. She thinks he's a handsome guy. She said it really just came down to not religion, but her relationship with God. And this is where we get the bombshell that Kyle said his biggest regret, nothing to do with his relationship with Shayna, but he should have proposed to Deep D. Did we get one conversation of them conversing in the pods?
No. And based on, now this is just me looking at the edit, based on Deep D's expression at that point, I don't think Kyle had a chance with Deep D either. I mean, maybe that's just me. And maybe if he had spent more time in the pods, and maybe he, like, this seems like a retroactive, like, oh, I wish I had been freed up to talk to Deep D more. Like, propose to her? Were you close? And if you were...
He said he loves her. And, or, you know, like, oh, you know, the casual, oh, I love her, she's great. But they have been hanging out a lot in real life.
Fine. Good for them. Good for them. Yeah. What happened to the Sal and Deep D rumors? Can we go back to that one?
That was one picture. One picture.
Because for me, and I've even, there was an article, I think Deep D, I don't know if it was People or who she spoke to recently, where she said, like, for me, it really was between Shake and Kyle. Like, it was not one-sided. Like, we did really have these conversations. Seems weird because Love is Blind loves these, like, love triangle little storyline. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I know supposedly someone also proposed to Natalie also, and they didn't show that because they thought it was too boring, where I'm just stretch the pod episodes out. I want to see more. I want to see more people. So when they show up on like future projects, I actually know who they are. But it's just Deep D, run. Like, we could do better. I'm sorry. I love DP. Kyle's fine. He's there. But just, we don't need to rush into this.
Have you, just a little sneak peek at his Instagram.
I'm looking.
It's just nice. It's just nice. It's just nice to, the visual is nice. Take the personality out of it.
I think that Kyle seems like a person who would be a great partner to someone. Seems like someone who would go pretty all in on them, which is great. I know that you all spent this time in this unique experience that no one else experienced. That does not mean that you have to find your person from that cast pool. You can if it works. Look, I will be here over here supporting it. I'm a DP stan through and through. So it'll be fine. And the picture of her with all the men minus Shake is really great. That's a good picture.
Yeah.
Loving this one. We should have had them stand up at least once during this reunion, because we haven't talked about this enough. The outfits were on point with everyone.
Yes.
Like, looked really great. She's got this very beautiful sparkly blue dress. Everyone looked really great.
Yeah.
To what you were just saying about the, like, Natalie getting proposed to, I'm sorry. You were upset that Shane might have been dating multiple people, and you were dating someone who clearly felt close enough that they wanted to propose. So, I don't know.
I don't know if it was a hard no from her, or if it was just like a, whoa, dude, read the room. We're not there yet. You know, it could have been one of those situations.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's what it was supposedly. I think they said it was like very early on in the process, and she was like, whoa, this is nowhere near there. But regardless, I wanted to see it.
Yeah, exactly. And so when Kyle said this, that he, you know, would have wanted to propose to DP, Shake's like, whoa, I love that. I'm happy to facilitate. Can you stop? Like, at any moment he's trying to have whatever.
Stop inserting yourself where you're not, where you do not belong.
We move forward to Natalie and Shane. This was a really serious segment, because, you know, he's apologized a million times for that night, but she feels like that night changed everything. She starts crying, and she feels like it was a wake up call that they had bigger issues that they needed to work through. And, you know, this is kind of where, you know, I felt good about Shane up to this point, because at this moment he's like, look, I feel like you're kind of, you don't feel bad about anything you've done. And he's basically trying to get her to apologize for making him say the things that he said that night and take some ownership in her part in that night. But, you know, it all came down to like the validation thing and the compliments. And so she's crying and she feels bad. And, you know, we find out they tried to give it another shot, but it was too fresh. She couldn't move past that big argument. So they didn't work out. But what y'all think about Shane in this piece?
Yeah, I was really feeling pretty good about Shane up until this point, which I knew was coming because I saw the clip that was out there. The part that got it for me was the moment where, you know, he says he owns up to what he did, but he feels like she hasn't taken any of the blame, which it's hard to tell with this, whether or not this is like a social media fueled thing. Has he been getting a ton of hate and he feels like, you know, that he just doesn't want to feel like a villain, like wants to, you know, he wants to admit that he did some things wrong, but it kind of feels like, yeah, I don't love it. If what he's saying is like, you provoked me into being angry and therefore I said bad things. Like, there's no excuse for the things that you say. You have to, there was like one of those, you know, like those little Instagram story posts where it's like a little cute picture with a little fancy writing that's like some kind of inspirational quote. Saw one of those ones that really spoke to me, which was like, you are entitled to your emotional reaction, but you're not entitled to how you make, like, the damage you do with that emotional reaction, basically. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah, he is entitled to say, like, you upset me, and therefore this is why I did something hurtful. But you're not entitled to the fact that you hurt her with those things, if that makes sense. And that was something that I felt a deep connection to for many reasons. But with him, I was like, it's yeah, I think it's probably reasonable that she probably did say some things. And we saw the montage on the show that like upset you. It's not great that you don't have a great verbal way of communicating that without then just sort of throwing things back at her. But the part that really bugged me was when he was saying this and then she says, I'm sure that your anger came from somewhere. And I know it was probably me being frustrating or not making you feel appreciated. That's kind of her owning it and like, yes. and like basically getting to the apology. And he kind of, he does this like face and he's like, is that enough though? And then, and he's like, I just feel like you're not owning it. I'm like, that's exactly what she's doing. Not only is she owning it, I'm like, girl, you don't need to apologize for all of these things. Like, don't make him feel like he's allowed to react in anger just because you might have frustrated him. Like, anyway, I digress.
I came into the wedding days and truly thought Shane and Natalie have the most chemistry.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to happen. It is probably going to end not so great eventually, but it just came sooner than I thought it would. Like, I thought that they were going to be married. I thought that they had great chemistry, but not long-term compatibility. And I'm glad that they figured it out before the wedding, especially just like, Shane needs to be told that he's a good boy at all times. And it's just like unfortunate, but it's what he's looking for, even in this moment. Just like, I am taking responsibility, but just like, don't make it seem like I'm not also good. And it's like, okay, like Shane, we get it. We need to come.
They are not together in this moment at the reunion.
Right.
And she says, you know, he's like, I feel like I'm being made out to be bad. To be the bad guy. And she says, I don't think that our situation is like a necessarily a good guy, bad guy thing. Like, I think we have issues communicating. And he's like, see, I feel like that's the kind of thing that you need to say more. And I'm like, I'm trying to read into it being like, does he mean that he wants her to say that like publicly, like on Twitter so that he doesn't get hate? Or is he like still searching for this woman who he's not with to like give him those compliments, even though they're not together?
Right.
I mean, I think it's both. Like, there's a moment where Anna will talk where like we talk to other people about like, what do you think about Natalie and Shane? And Nick Lachey is like, does it feel good to like hear these things? And he can't even get out of his mouth before Shane is like, of course, it feels so good to hear compliments. Yeah. Like, I love hearing compliments.
Fantastic.
Like, I do feel like they're like Scally's saying, I think they have a lot of chemistry and I think they do like each other. And I think that there's a world in which they could make this work, but you know, there's so much growth that needs to happen on Shane's part, maturity wise. And I think that he is someone who would benefit from, like we mentioned a few episodes ago with the like couples therapy option, like having that third party there to help them facilitate some of these conversations. Because if really all it takes is if they found a strategy of communicating, you know, and I don't want to, my inclination, of course, with who I identify with is to be like, go girls, all these men are scum. Like that's, you know, that's my inclination, but I'm trying to be fair here. And I think that Natalie like also needs to understand that if she wants to be with him and he needs constant compliments to like function, then like you have to be willing to do that. And he's not going to take the jokey, you know, ribs. He's not going to handle that. And like, so that's your compromise. You need to change the way that maybe you talk about that. But I think that they would work well from having that third party, because I think that he does work well from having like the Nick and Vanessa here facilitating this. And I think that he probably did learn some things from actually watching the show. I think most people, don't view themselves like he said, as the bad guy. Most people who have issues in relationships probably feel like there are things that they can open up to, but also things that they feel misunderstood about. And I'm sure that that's how he feels here. So I get it, but it is brutal watching Natalie in these moments. Like,
yes.
Like I go back and forth, 'cause I'm like, she's the one that said no at the wedding. And so she's the one that did hold her ground. And I feel give her such props for that. But she also, I can see like the moments where she's like, I just need to make this guy not angry with me. It's like, you know, it's hard.
I think they're just, and keeping in mind also that Shane is grieving the loss of his father while going through this experience so heavy. And like, I don't feel like it's talked about, but probably not considered enough in that, like, I do feel like if they had met in 3 years and maybe Shane had dated someone else and learned a few lessons and like knew how to communicate a little better and maybe didn't have exactly all of these expectations, maybe this works out. But unfortunately for right now, I don't think the timing is good and they're better off apart.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because you can tell that there is genuine love for each other. And I bet that is the most frustrating part. They can't. They're like, what? Why can't we make it work? Because we do, like, we have the love for each other. We just can't make it happen. Like, it's just, they're not equipped to make it happen. And like you said, yeah, couples therapy could do wonders for them, but I don't know. Maybe it's just
some personalities aren't meant to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Natalie does own up that, like, she feels like when they did try to give it a second shot, like, that she had a really hard time letting go of the fight. And that she did hold it against him, which, you know, it's, I don't know what the right thing to do in those situations are. Do you need to completely talk it out, or do you need to just sort of move on from it and hope it doesn't happen again? I don't know. I'm not sure. So maybe it was for the best, but there's like a very small window, I feel like, that was still opened with, like, when they went to the Nick Lachey when they go to him and he's like, you know, I love these two individually, I'm still so close to Shane, and like, I want them both to be happy, and if it's with each other, like, even better. So I'm like, I feel like they're still trying to, like, keep that door a little bit open.
And there's their Instagram
Sally doesn't want it.
their Instagram posts make it seem like that door is not fully closed. It seems like I still love this person. We have great history. It's not just like, oh, I wish them the best. You know, it's just like, whether it's meant for us to be together or not, you know, I don't think that they are completely done. I feel like if there is a point where they both at the same time want to revisit this once time has passed, they possibly would. Not saying that's for the best, but it could possibly happen.
When we brought up Nick, I'm gonna say I felt like Nick of Nick and Danielle, a bigger producer on the show than Nick Lachey at times. Like, yes. He's just very much like, I understand the inclination to, like, want to know everything that's going on, whatever, but he's like, I just feel so sad for them, and I just wish they were together. When, like, I remember scenes earlier in the season where he's like, did you hear how Natalie did
this?
Yes,
like, so messy. Yeah.
Like, yeah, exactly. You were instigating things. So I am still wary of Nick at times here, even if he tears up a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I don't fully trust him. Like, I wouldn't tell him my relationship drama at all. So, but then we have this, like, very unnatural transition into Shane and Shayna, where it was like, okay, we just had this very heartfelt situation with Natalie and Shane, but then we're going to move on to Jared and Ayana. But it's like, we have this small window of trying to see if there was anything with Shane and Shayna. And so Vanessa asked, like, you know, okay, well, on this topic of you and someone, basically, what about you and Shayna? Have y'all seen each other? And the how physically uncomfortable Shane got when this question was asked made me uncomfortable. I was like, whoa, why are we talking about this? Shane just immediately did not want to speak a word. He ends up just not responding to Vanessa. And Vanessa has to transition to Shayna. And Shayna's like, I don't know why he's acting like this. We're just friends. Like, we've seen each other once, or she didn't even say once, but she's like, we've seen each other before today, but we're just friends.
So
do y'all believe it?
Well, looking at Shane's Instagram, which I was just doing, Shane does say, like, under his post where they do the, like, famous people picture of the couple from behind, that means that we broke up thing. all about Natalie, but at the very bottom, it's like, and to put rumors to rest, me and Shayna have met up a couple times only, like, in full cast events with Natalie also there. We are cordial, but it will never, nor has ever been anything romantic, you know. I think the way I read the situation here was, I think Shane thought they were about to ask him about the confrontation that Shayna did, like at the beach party or whatever it was. And I think that he like just didn't want to talk about that maybe. And then she was like, wait, I think they're just asking if we're a thing. It's cool. We can just like not say this. But I think that is probably what it was, that maybe he just didn't want to get into some kind of deeper drama and break down another scene. Because that was definitely a heavily edited segment. And so I think that there was probably maybe a lot more we didn't see there. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm. It was funny when Shayna's like, I just want to make it sure we didn't date at all after this. And Vanessa's like, I didn't imply that. And I was like, yeah. I watched this twice and it felt like you did both times. Or at least you asked the question. So good to know.
Plausible deniability. If you deny it, they can't get you.
Yeah, Shayna's just like, not romantically. No, I wasn't even saying that. She's like, wait. But like, yeah.
On the romance show? On Love is Blind.
Why are we asking the question then, Vanessa?
Yeah, Vanessa, own it, girl. This is all about owning it.
It's like you're like, ask somebody like, oh, would you be like interested in like seeing a movie? And they're like, oh, no, I wouldn't want to like go out on a date with you. Like, oh, no, I wasn't saying like we were going on a date to see a movie just together. What?
Of course not. Why would you? Why would you even think that?
I would never even see that movie. Right?
Ugh. Oh, movies, gross. Yeah. So that was a funny moment because I was just like, I guess if they didn't touch on it, then when were they? They weren't going to do it in the closing segments. It should have been addressed earlier on, but then she wanted to get to the meat of Natalie and Shane just in case they have. Really were trying to make things work because we hadn't gotten that explanation yet. So it was an awkward segment. But then we kind of closed with Jared and Ayana and just about how marriage is hard, but they're learning, they're growing. He realized the things he was doing prior to marriage. He's realizing that he couldn't allow those to creep into his marriage. He was actively making changes. They're finding their balance. And we find out that they did have sex in marriage in Mexico one time.
I forgot this was a thing that we didn't think had happened.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, is this news? I need to go look at my notes. I remember a couple people who were waiting, but right. For what I wasn't sure about. But you know, good for them. Like, hey, they're making it work. They've been compromising. Love to hear that word, compromise. That's great.
Yes.
They've learned a lot. Everything they said really, really screams to me like, We dated. We started dating.
Yes.
And we learned how it is to date.
Right.
Mm-hmm. After we got married. Yeah. It's great though. Good for them. Yeah. I'm glad to see it.
They do look happy. I liked Jared was very cleaned up. He looked really nice. She looked beautiful. They looked great together. So I'm happy for them. I don't hate Jared, Jason Reed, just so you know.
We have nothing against Jared. We just wanted to see it. And now here we are. It's been a year.
And we have seen it.
And we have seen it. Would love the 3-year check-in.
Right. So, yeah.
There's no other couple you could have ended on. I'm just like very happy with them. I like that they're being like realistic about like there are struggles we have, but we just come back into the middle and like, he's doing a little less of what he wanted to do. I'm doing a little less of what I wanted to do all of the time. And it works. We're both really happy with that. So I am encouraged for this relationship and hoping to see a positive 3-year check-in.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I'm just a skeptic when it comes to like I'm now a person. I don't know when I became so horrible, but when I watch, like if it's like a some sort of romance or rom-com or whatever that's set in high school, where the culmination of the movie or the series of movies is like graduation. And they make it seem like if you at the end of graduation, like get with your significant other, then like it'll last forever. I'm like, guys, you're going to college. Like, come on. Like, this is not like you haven't accomplished something just by still being together at the end of high school. And I'm like, wow, Mary, when did you turn into such a horrible cynic? Let the young people have love. But they're doing great. I'm so happy to see it.
Yes. So that was the reunion. We did get a preview for a new show from the creators of Love is Blind called The Ultimatum, where six couples are going to be put through this test. One is ready for marriage. One is not so ready for marriage. And they're going to swap partners and live together for 3 weeks and then decide if they want to stay with the person that they have been with or if they want to split forever. And I tell you this right now, if I'm ever with someone and I'm ready for marriage and they're not, and the only way for us to be together is to go on a show, we're done.
Yeah, I have this really great idea. We should date other people on reality TV is what we should do.
Right. Oh,
yes. It looks like it's going to be a hot mess of fun.
Yes, it does. And it premieres April 6th. So looking forward to that. It's going to be on Netflix.
And yeah. I guess the catch with this show of the way that they make sure the couples are serious is you have to have already dated someone for a long time. Like if a couple comes on here who's like, we've been together for 3 months and one of us wants to, I'm like, get off my TV. You're just here for the clout. Go away.
See, I'm going to watch it. My question is, Deep D and Kyle on season 2 or like, can we make it happen?
There have been other rumors with Natalie and Sal, but that's the TikTok investigators going based off of like one picture she posted. And so there's not much, like, I guess, depth there, but with Kyle and Deep D, they're definitely like, he's been doing like the sneak peek thing of like, oh, I'm hanging out with somebody. And then there's been a shot of them. I don't know. Was it a soccer game, some type of sports event where they were like together, like it was the cast together, but specifically Kyle and Deep D were having a lot of conversation. So I don't know.
All I know is I don't go to events with a group and only take a picture with like one other person unless I'm trying to say something.
Right.
Let's get a group pick and then maybe get one with just the two of us, you know, just for fun. Let's just mix it up just for fun. Right.
It'll be so fun. Yeah.
It'll be so cute.
No reason. I mean, I wasn't trying to take a picture with you for any reason.
Why would you think anything? I mean, it's just like, it's fine.
Right. I like the idea that he's taking one-on-one pictures with everyone, but only posting with DG. Like, let's each take one and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You are lying if you haven't done that move before. Okay, now some individual shots. Yeah, you and me. Come on, Brad, you want to take one with me, don't you? Like, this is fine. I'll also take one with Sally, but like first us. And then, but this is just the one where we looked the best. Like, come on, we just have to post the best one. You don't want to post that many. You can't have, you can't have that many pictures.
And the one with you and Sally never sees the light of day.
Mm-hmm. Never sees the light of day. And it was never going to,
right? Exactly.
Blinked, Sally. It doesn't matter.
it's fine. But she's like, it's blurry though.
It's okay. Fine.
We don't have time.
Love is blurry.
Oh my gosh.
So that's the reunion. We did it. Thanks for joining us, Scally.
Oh, thank you for having me. I, like I said, was so excited to, and it's been even more fun than I expected.
Yes. Where can people find you?
Anything that I'm doing will be over on Twitter at Brian_Scally. I did the update for the Big Brother Canada house yesterday, which was quite interesting and has only gotten to be more eventful since then. So check that out and I'll pop up there throughout the season.
Nice. Mary, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere at Frail Mary. I am desperately trying to catch up to all the Big Brother Canada stuff. It's just so much all at once, you know?
Yes.
March has already been a month and it's the 6th. So we're doing great. We're doing great. But yeah, you can catch me there and all of my stuff. Oh, I got some horrible news. Horrible, terrible news that Riverdale's back. So that'll be starting back up over on Kowski Cast. That's Cow with a K. So feel free to check that up if you would like to ring in the fingers crossed last season of Riverdale.
Nice. Well, that'll be very exciting. And like, I don't know if we have talked about it here yet, but there is potential for Love is Blind Brazil and Love is Blind Japan coverage. So just stay tuned. If it's coming your way, it'll drop in the Love at First Sight feed. Subscribe at robhasawebsite.com/firstsightfeed. So you can be the first to know of any potential content coming your way. You can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, A-Y-S-H-A, like A-S-I-A, podcasting weekly with Jason Reed about Married at First Sight. We are in just in the middle of the season. And so, you know, if you enjoyed Love is Blind and you enjoyed a show of this type, just come listen to Married at First Sight. You don't even have to watch the show and, you'll enjoy it. And then hopping around for Big Brother Canada. I was on the recap for the first eviction. So yeah, anything I'm up to, definitely just go look at it on my Twitter. And then also I will be joining the crew to do the Survivor 42 draft. So hopefully I pick the winner. Easy. Ooh. You know, easy pickings. Right. Thanks. So thank you for sticking with us, especially throughout all of the season. Until next time, we'll see you then.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.